Nicole Jaspard. I'm an empath and paranormal investigator. I am also an author of a dozen books. Thank you for listening to Haunted Real Connections, where I'll bring you the best mediums and paranormal people the field has to offer. Stay tuned for another great show on Paranormal King Radio. Hey guys, good evening. Welcome back to another edition to Haunted Real Connections here on Paranormal King Radio. And I'm your host, Nicole Jaspard, and I have another awesome guest tonight. And I want to welcome Aurora North. Hopefully I say your name right. And of course, we have live chat going on. And feel free to send us your questions anytime during our show. And of course, if I don't know the answer, hopefully Aurora will. And so just to let you guys know a bit about her background, Aurora North is also a fellow medium. And we have quite a few things in common, actually. I mean, we're both mediums. Yeah. And we're also both part of the wonderful White Legacy Foundation. And, you know, we're both, you know, authors, I believe, right? Oh, no. You tend to write on your website. You have a website and you share your abilities. And we'd like to learn more about what you do. And of course, let's see what else. If you prefer to be called clairvoyant mediums. And she had also known throughout the Montreal, Quebec, Canada, hopefully I said that right.
Yeah.
And also refers to herself as the soulful traveler. I'm kind of anxious to see what she tells about that too. And she also has her website that she shared now and during the show about one of my favorite topics, angel communications, and mediumship development. And worked on over the years. So you've done quite many things. And you even do, like, coaches clients in various spiritual coaching techniques, which is always good to know if you're in this field. And let's see. And you do a lot of mindfulness-based stress reduction and meditation. I'm going to have to take some resources. And as grief management as well. She's also collaborated with the paranormal teams throughout the Quebec and Ontario provinces. And she is presently a researcher, as I was saying, for both Warren Legacy Foundation, for paranormal research since January. If I'm right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So welcome to our show, Aurora.
Thanks, Nicole. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. So that was a lot to take in right there. So where would you like to start?
Woo. Oh, boy.
I'm open. Thanks, Dad. Welcome to the chat. Go ahead.
Do you want to start with questions? Do you want me to?
Sure, yes, if you have questions, and hopefully the audience will share their questions as well. I mean, you know, we don't know anywhere. But so, of course, I always like to ask all my guests a few standard questions. What was your first paranormal experience? What was that like?
My first paranormal experience.
If you don't mind sharing.
No, I don't mind sharing.
I'm going to mute myself. I'm in the water. So feel free to share.
Well, it's difficult to define which one of them was my first. When I was 7 years old, a lot of things happened to me. But in terms of the very first experience, I'd say it started with my dreams. And it's kind of hard to say. But evil kind of stalked my dreams since I was very, very young. I mean, like 3-4 years old. And I had a particularly scary, really scary dream visitation when I was 5. And I was I was actually talking to an archbishop recently, chief exorcist, and I told him about this experience. And he said to me, "Wow, that's creepy."
Yeah, they can be creepy.
So I was like,
I agree.
And he's like,
"Go ahead."
If the chief exorcist says that to you, that's quite something, you know?
Yeah.
And he also said, you definitely have the gift of discernment. So basically, I've had certain dreams throughout the years with evil spirits will come for some reason chasing after me. And they feel very different from regular dreams.
You mean like visitation?
Yes.
Visitation dreams?
Well, they really do visit. If you've been in the presence of evil, you know what it feels like.
They're not pretty either.
So this dream, and they're always lucid dreams. Dreams that when they come and visit me. So this one is very simple, but it is pretty scary to describe. It's very simple.
Yeah.
So I saw a rosary. It was a beautiful gold rosary.
It was
really
pretty.
Big cross on it, a big cross. And it had like beautiful gems on it and everything. And it was gorgeous and it was ancient. I could feel it was really old. But there was this sense of deep evil coming from it.
And
just floating in the air. And imagine, I'm 5 years old and I'm having this dream. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know. And that's quite something for evil to handle a rosary. And I just knew there was an evil spirit there. And then the rosary chain started to move. And it started to do a knot onto itself, and it was as if it was strangling someone. Like, you know, if you put a chain around someone's neck. And I knew that was a warning towards me. And, I mean, here's my little baby 5-year-old self saying, what the? And I never told my family about any of these dreams. I was raised Roman Catholic. So what I would do when I'd have these visitations is I would just do the sign of the cross in the air. I don't know how I need to do this, but somehow
I did that too, a Christian.
Yeah. So I did the sign of the cross, and I just woke up out of the dream, and my heart was pounding, and I was out of breath, and I was terrified.
One of those recurring dreams, or is this one time thing?
This one wasn't recurring.
But
it was always something different. It's always different experience.
When I get those recurring dreams, it's like it's a definite message there. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
Whenever it's like one of those recurring dreams. To me, that would be a definite message in there somewhere.
still not getting the last part of your sentence. I'm sorry.
Oh,
maybe it's my hearing.
Yeah, to me, it's like a definite message. You know, it's some kind of a message.
It's definitely a message. And so when this archbishop told me, well, you have the gift of discernment, and I said, but I don't want to work with demons. I never wanted to work with anything evil. You know, I don't want to handle that. I'm not an exorcist. And he said, well, that's how it works, unfortunately. Yeah. You're kind of called on whether you like it or not, you know. And I have found in my later years that I'm getting more and more evil cases seem to be heading my way. And I've done some workarounds to help clients, but I don't know. It's like something is coming to a crossroads. And
Father Keane said he's in the house. He said you were called to do that, and he also said evil can disguise itself there as demons can handle rosaries and even Bibles. That's serious stuff.
That's true. I've read many books, it takes a very strong evil to handle a rosary like that. This is you don't see this every day. This is not a, you know, this is really not a normal case of seeing a rosary handled like that. And the last dream I had, things have changed over the years. I've been able to handle things more, you know, since I've learned how to protect myself as a medium and as a paranormal investigator. My dreams have changed, and I've been more in control, obviously, than my little baby 5-year-old self. The last dream I had, which was much more recent, I'd say a few months ago, again, there was an evil spirit involved. This one was just frustrating. So I was somewhere, I could see it. I was somewhere in Mexico. And judging from the streets and everything, because I've been down in Mexico before. And
it's been years since I've been out there. Go ahead.
And there was Spanish speaking going on. And there was this woman. And she was like kind of a bit in the shadows. And I went up to her and I looked into her eyes and I saw the demon looking out from inside her. And it was smiling because it had taken over her and possessed her. And I was frustrated. You know, I didn't feel afraid at all. But I was frustrated because I'm not an exorcist. But first I was like, do I walk away? I walked a few steps. I'm like, no, I can't turn my back on this, you know. So I went back, and I was trying to say a few prayers, the Lord's Prayer and Hail Mary. And for some reason, I was forgetting the words. And I was like, why am I forgetting words? What's going on? You know, I've known these prayers by heart since I was a little kid. So it was very frustrating. The little I could do, I'm not even able to remember. And this demon was just laughing, you know. It had taken over the woman. It was too late. And I was alone and not trained for this anyway.
It's a bit dangerous, too.
Of course, you know.
Especially if you're not trained in that area.
But I had so much the will to help that I just tried to say these prayers, and it not normal for me not to remember them by heart. So again, a lucid dream. I woke up out of it and I was frustrated. And I'm like, I don't want to run those demonic cases. And why was I shown this? You know?
Yeah.
It's something I can't do about. And I have friends that are demonologists and exorcists. And, you know, in life, I just want them for help. But it was just like mocking me because, you know, I couldn't do anything.
Oh, well.
Anyway, that's you know, one of the experiences.
Unfortunately,
in
they
life.
Can. I don't think like I don't know if they can read minds or not, but they can share mimic their voices and stuff. That's what scares me.
What's that?
Yeah, I don't know if they can read our minds or not, but yeah, I know they can mimic, and that's and things like that. And that's what scares me the most when I come across them.
What scared you the most?
I mean, sometimes a demon.
Oh, if you
mimic,
want to talk about it, that's okay.
Now they don't want me to talk. They mimic, and that's what scares me the most.
Oh, mimicry. Yes, yeah, that's the same stuff. Have you come across that a lot?
Sometimes. Let's see. We have some questions popping up. He wants to know, can you bind demons until an exorcist helps?
Well, no. I'm sorry. I don't have the power to bind a demon. That's what an exorcist
right.
does. You know, that's what an exorcist does. I actually have a booklet of all the exorcist prayers. I downloaded that a while ago. Last year, I actually took workshops with a religious demonologist, and this is really interesting. His name is Ralph Sarchi. Maybe some of you know who he is. There was a movie made out of his life. What was it called? Trying to come up with the name of it. Father, can you really think I can bind a demon? I don't know about
Father
that.
Father said, yeah, well, you're gifted. Well, you probably should.
Okay, we'll have to have a talk to him, Father Chen. Oh, Deliver Us From Evil, that's it. That's the movie. I love that movie. Out of the book. And Rob Archie himself is a fascinating guy. So I took a bunch of workshops with him last year. And he's very, very Catholic. But just like you, Father Chen, he's not with the official Catholic Church either. He's with an independent Catholic church. I kind of want to get into my Catholic roots, like scripture-wise. And he teaches about angels and demons. So, I don't know. Maybe because I'm getting all these demon cases, I want to learn from someone from a religious point of view. Because I'm still a Christian, I'm still a Catholic, but I'm kind of weak on my knowledge of scripture. So spending time with Ralph, taking his workshops, was really a good experience for me. Yeah, the Demon Files, the show. I have to watch them on YouTube. They're on YouTube if anybody's interested. He used to have his own show on one of the channels, the Demon Files. So he does exorcisms and stuff. He used to be a New York City cop, like a real tough guy. And during his years as a cop, he started sensing things at places where he would, go get called to. And it seemed like he would always end up somewhere where there was paranormal activity happening. And it was always being exactly. He doesn't take any crap, and he tells it how it is. Very blunt. What's he doing now? He's in Florida. He's retired, and he's in Florida, and he's happy to be away from New York. And he's a happy grandfather. He has a few grandkids and one recent one. He wants to give workshops again. But last I heard, he was trying to find a new platform for that because the one he was on is kind of shut down. Sometimes he reads the rosary on his Facebook. Sometimes I follow along with that.
Right.
So, anyway, that's it about Ralph.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm definitely a person. Bill wants to know if you can teach how to astral travel.
Bill, are you asking me or Nicole? Or both of us?
But for me, I was taught by my grandmother, and after that, it just came easily. You know, if you have someone show you physically, that helped. But if you can't, I would suggest find a mentor that you trust, and go from there.
You're welcome, Bill. I actually learned on my own how to astral travel. I've been doing that forever.
Hey, Adam. Sorry, Adam in the house.
Hi,
everybody.
Welcome,
myself,
Adam.
Everybody. I've talked with Aurora. So, Terry. Hey, Terry. Adam. Everybody here. Father Kim. Let's see who else. Bill.
Everybody.
And Lauren. Welcome to the show that I want to talk about. Paranormal, and particularly the dark side, I would say. So,
yeah.
And
we kind of dived into one subject.
I know, isn't that weird? You never know what you're doing. That's why I love these.
We can talk about other love stuff. It. Oh, talk more about astral travel.
Sure.
You want to talk about that?
Yes. I've had plenty of experiences. I'm wondering if you had those experiences at all with astral traveling.
What's that? What's that, Nicole? Sorry, I didn't catch it.
Have you had any experiences with that at all, with astral traveling?
Oh, I love it. Oh, I've had amazing, amazing experiences with astral travel. I often go to different space and time dimensions. I'll go to a different decade, like in the past, or I'll go in the future, or parallel dimension.
Yeah.
and often I'm like, I feel like I'm like a spirit guide because I'm just watching a scene.
Right.
You know, like one time I went to Paris in the 1970s, and I was
I feel like I traveled there too. It's so weird. Go ahead.
Oh, interesting. So I was following a specific Jewish family, and they were going to a flea market. And I was like their spirit guide. And I saw a flea market from the other side. I could see all the entities attached to the objects in the flea market. And I was speaking out. I was trying to tell them, no, don't think that. You know, there was like a camera that had been belonged to a pedophile, which had been taken. He had taken all kinds of horrible pictures with, you know. And then there was something else with a nasty ghost attached to it. This old woman who really was attached to her bijou, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's weird. I had a similar experience. Go ahead.
Really? It's fascinating. What happened?
Only when I dove, I feel like I would be in Paris, and I would see all these red tips. And I would see particular colors and particular things that they're selling. And then the next day, I will see it. But I'm not in Paris. No, I can't afford to go to Paris right now. But it's somewhere in the outer space. So weird.
That is weird. Wow. What are you all that?
Detail. That's I would see colors. And like, I'm in a whole different dimension. I don't know. It's weird. King has another question. Where was? Where I lose it again?
Oh,
hey,
King had a question.
Can you die from astral traveling?
You take that one, Nicole.
I think it's possible if you go too far, but since we have that, what do you call that? That cord. As long as we have an energetic core thing connecting with us since we were born, it shouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't say we wouldn't die from it, but we might still just fall. But I feel sometimes I ask for him, you brought me back, and then they would tell me, I went too far sometimes.
Yeah, you can go too far. Is a possibility.
Yeah.
Because it's so much fun, right? You want to keep
all big. I liked, what is that movie? Insidious?
Oh, I love those movies.
Possible, yeah. No. But that movie scared me.
That's really like what the ghost dimension looks to me. Just like Insidious, but gray, not red. Gray. Just a really gray, miserable, smoky, shadowy place. That's what the ghost dimension looks like to me. Yeah.
I think we have another question from Adam, the historian, yes. Ghost hunter. Yes. How do you think night terrors and night terrors are linked?
Night terrors and night tremors.
Night terrors. That's a good question, Adam. You want to take first?
To me, I'm actually thinking that's a physical thing. Mm-hmm. I've been reading recently about a disorder called REM sleep disorder. I read about it because a couple times physical things have happened to me while I was dreaming or sleeping. One time I fell off my bed.
Oh.
And another time I was yelling in my sleep. It was so loud that my
partner
Jeff came in the room. And he's like, what's going on? And it woke me up out of my sleep. So apparently there's a disturbance during a REM sleep. It means that your REM is not working right. Because usually during REM, the sleep time, your body does its own kind of natural paralysis. But if you have this disorder, your body's not paralyzed. It's moving around and could be acting out what you're dreaming.
Exactly.
So people will sleepwalk, they'll sleep eat, they'll sleep whatever.
Luckily, I don't sleepwalk, but I felt something touch me. Like, I felt something pulse my mat.
Ooh.
But I haven't been pulled out of bed yet, thank goodness. But I felt something pulse my mat. And I mean, I would have lucid dreams. And, you know, and when I was in Florida, I can tell you, that scared me because I screamed out the color red. I just like scared the daylight out of my room, my girlfriend that was rooming with me. I didn't tell him, but I never screamed. Now I don't know if that's night terror, would that be night, some form of the final talk form of night terror.
I think you could be related. Go ahead. Yeah. This here. Oh. Father Ken said something about the travel.
Oh, I lost that question. Did you see it?
Yeah. He says, do you believe that astral travel can be dangerous? Oh, yeah. And what do you see? Spirits, like light?
Oh, yeah. I definitely
can. I just see. Go again, Nicole.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say it can be dangerous, especially if you're not prepare yourself before you go to sleep. Now I knew that you tend to ask to travel. So now I ask my Holy Spirit, the white light, I would ask to protect me.
Yeah.
While I sleep, and you know. You know, him and Davis. So,
well,
what are your thoughts on that?
What I would recommend about astral travel, honestly, a lot of my mediumship development students have had disturbing dreams where they were attacked while astral traveling. So, I would recommend to them that right before falling asleep, you know, like you're lying in bed. Right on your nightstand, have a little piece of paper where you call in a protector guide to help to watch over you while you sleep. And I always recommend Archangel Michael. So I'll say the prayer.
I connect with him right away for some reason.
Archangel Michael, please put a blanket of protection, of white light around me while I'm sleeping, while I'm astral traveling, and any time in between, while I'm waking up, while I'm falling asleep, and in all the directions of time. You know, and I'll say this out loud, because saying it out loud has more power. Every time you say something out loud, it has power. I already worked with them a lot. But I recommend it to everyone, you know. I've recommended to even my pagan and Wiccan students, and they love it, you know.
Right.
A lot of my pagan and Wiccan students actually work with Archangel Michael. here in Quebec, this French province of ours in Canada, there's a joke that goes around that Archangel Michael is the patron saint of paranormal investigators here. Because all those paranormal teams, whether English or French, all call on him, and it doesn't matter what they believe in. They all call on him when they go out to do an investigation. You know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
true.
That's what I recommend if you want to be safe, you know, and you want to actually travel. Call on
definitely
call on the seat.
Oh, they're sharing their show, their Father Hinn on Adam Historic the Hunter show on May 20th. And then he'll be at my show on June 1st. So,
fantastic.
And then I'll have George, so funny, I can't say your last name, but he'll be at my show next week.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll have to tune in.
Yeah, I'll find that. Sure, you're welcome to.
I just want to say to King, because he made a statement here, just like when you say Jesus, Aurora. Yes, if you want to say Jesus, use Jesus, you know. My little story there, doing the sign of the cross while I'm traveling, that helps to protect me. That's the power of Jesus protecting me. So if you're a Christian and work with Jesus, that's fantastic. Whatever you're comfortable with.
Right, depending on your faith or background, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Can you clarify what clairvoyance might mean and how were you able to use it in your investigating or readings?
What
is that? One of my questions.
Go ahead.
I threw that there.
Yeah, say the question again. I was looking at text box.
I know, it's distracting. But can you clarify what clairvoyant medium might mean and how you're able to use it in your investigations or readings, if you don't mind sharing?
Okay. Sure. I call myself a clairvoyant medium, actually. I prefer that to psychic medium. Because psychic, I find, I find it vague. Like, not everybody knows what psychic means. But here in Quebec, clairvoyant works very well because it's the same word in French, clairvoyant. And the minute you say that, they know you're talking about a medium. A clairvoyant is specifically one who sees spirits, sees the dead, or sees other kinds of spirits. So that's one of my stronger clairs. There's five clairs, which we call the intuitive senses. And they're like our physical senses, but they're the equal in the spirit world. So clairvoyance means you see dead people, basically. Or
I know I have that, and I have clairaudience, for sure. My two strongest.
Oh, yeah.
Strongest clairaudience.
Yeah, that's hearing. So, and you can have the telepathic version, or you can also have the physical version of these clairs. Like,
right.
I also have the physical version of clairaudience. I don't know.
Sense of smell, you know.
I have the physical version as well, which means I actually hear physical voices. Like a few weeks ago, I actually heard my dad talking in my right ear.
Don't you love that?
It was such a blessing, let me tell you. I was craving hearing him. And I haven't talked or had a message from him since he passed away during these pandemic years. And yeah. It's crystal clear. I was like, oh. And I jumped up and looked around to see if I could see him. But it's the only one
yeah, they
shout
at you,
that,
right?
That I hear physically. Yeah, it's very startling.
every time it gets me because it's different every time. I'm like, okay. I feel like, yeah, Mom, you call me? She's like, no, I didn't call you.
Yeah, it's just like out of the blue when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
It could be very startling. King, thank you for putting my website link up there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, they're sharing their cell phone. You want to talk a little bit about that? How you come up with that? And you know, share a little bit about that.
About what?
Sorry. The Soulful Traveler.
The Soulful Traveler. You know, a lot of people are curious, what does that mean, Soulful Traveler?
Uh-huh.
Like most people would think I'm talking about astral travel, but that's not it at all. I coined this to myself maybe 20, 25 years ago to kind of try to describe myself and people like me, but it's a particular curiosity, a spiritual curiosity, kind of like you want to go out and explore your spirituality more. You want to talk to people of different faiths. An example, I used to run a group where I invited people of many different faiths to come, and I'd have different topics, and everybody would give their own opinion on it. Like an example, meditation. What does meditation mean for you? And we'd go around the table, and there'd be, you know, all kinds of people. There'd be a Jewish person, Muslim, Buddhists, all kinds, you know. I found it interesting one time, there was a Zen Buddhist, very particular Buddhism, and his definition of meditation was something they call koans. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. K-O-A-N-S. And it's basically a short little text, kind of like a parable. And you just have to, like a parable, you know, like a Christian parable, like in the Bible. Yeah. But this is more Japanese style. It's a little parable. It's a little story. Something happened. And you're just supposed to contemplate it. You're just supposed to think about it. And what does it mean, ultimately?
Right.
Because there's something to learn in it. So you can look it up online. I found it fascinating. and when I was young, I actually bought myself a dummy guide to meditation because I wanted to discover meditation around the world.
I would like to say meditation is like listening to God and praying is talking to God.
Yeah, those are wonderful forms of meditation. Christian meditation. I have many kinds of meditation I like. I like sound meditation primarily. When I meditate, I always put different pieces of music on that help me go really deep into a trance.
Yeah, I like that too.
And I also like walking meditation, going to a forest and just enjoying the walk, thinking about anything. And there's another one, which is called a half smile meditation that I like. And this is from one of my favorite Buddhist monks, Thich Nhat Hanh. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's a Vietnamese monk. He actually passed away this year. And he was famous during the Vietnam War for protesting against the war. And Martin Luther King Jr. actually nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize. They were very good friends. They're very good friends, and they would write letters to each other.
I think we have quite a few questions popping up. So go ahead and finish. I'm going to try to get the things after.
Sorry, I'm just going on and on and on.
Don't worry. I love, you. Love listening to you. Let's see.
Sure. I'd love to get
Father Heian. Yeah, and he wants to know what, Father Heian wants to know, what are your thoughts on telekinesis and are those regular abilities that psychics do show?
That's a good one. Telekinesis. What do you think, Nicole?
Well, telekinesis, I think, is the ability to move objects with your mind, if I'm right.
Okay. Yeah. I think, yes, I think the psychics can do that. But I think it's a skill you might be able to work on.
Yeah, you probably develop
it. Because I think it comes from the mind. You know, I think it's like a mind training, kind of like the CIA and their secret training that they did. So I think it's a mental thing that you can do, that you can train yourself to do. But this is just the theory I have. So I don't know if it's true.
All right. And he wants to know, are people accepting of the paranormal in Tibet?
I'd say more than you would expect. You know, not everybody talks about it, that they're interested in it. I do a lot of events in town, out of town, some private events. I do a lot of travel and oracle card reading, public ones, private ones. I've done many. I've been reading for over 25 years. So I actually did a private event. It was like a retreat for these corporate professionals, you know, all in their suits. And you'd think they'd be all conservative and everything. But throughout the whole night, they were all telling me ghost stories. I'm a pretty single one of them had
That's
a ghost
cool.
story. And,
I could talk to you for hours. And an Adam historian, the Joe wants to know, do you believe aliens have their own god or religion?
That's interesting. God or religion. I don't know if they believe in such things.
Yeah, I don't either.
I had a one strange encounter once.
I've seen them though, too.
Well, I think it was with an alien. It was part of our ghost tracking meetup group where we have, you know, we do an investigation, but often we'd also go for a bite to eat or coffee. And it was this very strange guy. He was Hispanic looking albino, okay? And had very black eyes. And it was, his eyes were very hard to look at. Like, everyone would look away from him. You couldn't talk to him for too long and look into his face. So already there was something just off about him. And he started asking myself and Patrick, who were leading the group, what are your thoughts on religion? You know, like someone from another planet would ask. And so, you know, we went along with it and, you know, some of us were answering questions. But, he was along for we were having a haunted pub crawl that night. And Patrick and I kept observing him and it was like he had no concept of the word religion. So I kind of associate that with aliens. So I don't picture them having a religion. Anyway.
Right.
I don't know if that answers the question.
It might have like a main boss or something like that. I don't know what you call them, but I don't know about God or religion. But that's something to be interesting to find out. I mean, right now the news is just coming up saying that UFOs in the news. I mean, you know, that's pretty incredible. You're just now sharing that, you know, without the fear of the government, you know. So,
I did have a UFO encounter when I was a kid, but I have a period of time that I blacked out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened during that time.
Have you seen the UFO craft, or have you actually seen the alien? For me, I just saw the craft. I haven't seen the alien yet.
Well, I can describe the encounter if you want to hear it.
Sure.
I was 10 years old. It was in the summertime, so I was off school, and I was in the park. I was like playing in the park, and I really believe time froze for me because things just didn't make sense. There was just this like craft hovering around craft hovering with no noise above my head. I don't know how high up it was. But it couldn't be a helicopter because it didn't make any noise. Can't be a plane because it stayed there. And I kept looking at it and looking around in the park, and there's nobody in the park. And I was at the edge of the park near the street, nobody walking by, nobody driving by. And I kept, you know, this before cell phones, I kept wanting like, hey, somebody pass by so I can share this experience. But I think I was frozen in time. Because nothing was moving. This was 8 o'clock at night. I stayed there for a while.
It usually makes no noise. Go ahead.
And then the next thing I knew, it was 9 o'clock and I was at home. And I don't remember walking home. And my house was just a street away. One street away. And I lost at least half an hour's time, maybe more.
Yeah, that's a definite sign. Yeah, lots of time, I think it's one of the definite signs might have been abducted or a glitch, you know? It's a definite sign. Could have been alien abduction.
Maybe. I don't know what happened in that last time. But I did research. At that time, there was actually news reports of people seeing lights in the sky.
Yeah.
And this past year, I did research, and sure enough, there's a report on the internet about a sighting in Montreal, and it fits.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
Everything. So I wasn't the only one who saw something that night.
It's kind of a relief, right? You're not the only one.
No, of course not. But that was the only interesting experience that I had with a UFO, so not a big. I haven't had a lot of UFO encounters. I think you've had a lot more than I have.
Yeah, since we moved out here, I've seen quite a few. We have some more questions.
Yeah,
come out here, you never know. he wants to know, has the board conducted any seances?
How do you define a seance? Because I have a hard time knowing what people are describing.
I think it's where a group of people they appoint a person to meet a medium and to contact the dead around a table. Whether they use divinations or not, usually the medium does most of the talking.
I've been part of medium circles, either with friends who are mediums or with my students. But to be the only one at a table, and seeing who contacts me from the other side, that's not a typical scenario I would do. I'm not that kind of medium. You know, I'm not one who says, who's around just for the fun of it. When I'm a medium, I'm on the job. Like, there's a reason why I'm opening up my mediumship skills. I don't do it just like, hey, let's see who shows up. No, I don't do that kind of
thing. Right. That's why I always say.
I hope that answers your question, King.
I always say the reading, you know, guarantee so and so is Philip. So
yeah, no guarantee.
No guarantee. If they do, I'm always shocked.
Oh, I mean, I do mediumship readings. I do distant readings with people. I put them on hold for a little while. But I'll do it with a picture of their loved one and their full name. And I will do my best to connect to the person. And I'm usually a pretty good success rate. It depends if the person is available, of course, you know. And sometimes people are disappointed. I'll get just a little bit from the person they really want to talk to, but another one of their relatives or friends steps in and takes up the airtime, so to speak, you know. So what comes through comes through. That's just the way it works.
Right. I love to do we're almost all the time. I can't believe that. But for me, I like to do like in person or video readings, because I also see spirits around the people and their auras.
Oh yeah.
Are you able to read their auras as well?
I'll get to that just a second. Thanks for joining us, Father Kim.
Yeah, thank you, Father Kim.
Yeah, thank you. I was happy to see you
here
tonight.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
We'll be in touch. God bless you.
Awesome show already.
Do I read auras? I don't read auras. I do read people's energy in a way. But it's not obvious. But there have been people that I've met that I'll know right away, like, oh no, I have to stay away from this person. They've done bad things, you know. And actually, one time I was attacked when I made the mistake of shaking hands with someone. Who had an attachment on him. And he showed all the signs, so I shouldn't have touched him. I ended up in the hospital ER overnight.
Oh, man.
They thought I was having a heart attack. My blood pressure jumped like 50 points. And all night they kept saying, it looks like you're having a heart attack. This would make sense. Even sending me to a heart specialist. And the guy said, what are you doing here? You're wasting my time. You have a strong heart. You know, but anyway. yeah, I lost track of I do that sometimes.
No,
what
I see, whenever I see auras, like the energy
healed
around people, sometimes they're in color, sometimes they're real bright. They're real bright there in my eyes. Sometimes when they're dim, that means there's something wrong with them. So I didn't want to scare, but I approached them, you know. Anyway, you know, I just see the energy that way.
That's a really cool gift, I have to say. Yeah.
It's so weird. I can even see energy with my eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freaking weird. I'll have to tell you about that later, but I can do a whole episode on that.
That sounds cool.
Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
We have some stuff to talk about.
I don't know. I wish we could do it 2 hours, though. But anyway, where can everybody find you and about your work? We get that in there before we the show.
What's that?
Where can everybody find you and your awesome work before we go?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Where can everyone find you, like on social media?
Is everybody saying goodnight to study?
Yeah, and they want to
really
know where can we find information about you and your work.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on
that.
Facebook.
Sorry, I wasn't being specific.
King actually put my website up before.
Yeah, thanks,
but I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at. Let me see if I can put this in. Vocal Traveler. Yeah,
what
Vocal
King knows?
Traveler. FB and Instagram. And you can find me at soulfultraveler.com. That's my website. And and the usual groups on Facebook, Galactic Old Group. On the field connection.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out. Woo! So I think we have another time for a quick question from my list here. What are your thoughts on remote viewing?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I love asking that.
I'm a big admirer of the classic remote viewing, the CIA experiments and all that kind of stuff. I wish I could do that kind of remote viewing. I do distance reading. I can actually connect to someone very far away. Like I had a client in China, and I could actually see into her apartment building. And I got rid of an elemental that was hanging out in their parking garage.
Wow.
He was actually a good guy. He had a difficult story, but I helped him. Actually helped him go to the light. And then I asked my client and my daughter, do you feel any difference in the parking garage? And they're like, yes, it feels so much lighter now. I'm like, yeah, me and my spiritual team, we helped him on his way. I connect differently. I don't do the classic remote viewing. I wish I could. Do you do the remote viewing, Nicole?
Yeah, I do sometimes, and I actually done that for teams, and they will ask me like the remote view, like the location, and while they're there or before, you tell them what to expect and everything. So it's quite interesting. Sometimes my voice. So sometimes I would see like colors, like it'd be so real. It's like I'm actually there. It's like you're in the lucid dreaming. Kind of what reminds me of remote feelings. Actually, you feel that you're right there. And when I first started developing that gift, we would practice remote viewing the moon. You can go anywhere in the galaxy. I'm sorry, like Star Trek. So, you can go anywhere in the galaxy, the cosmos, anywhere in a split second. And then you come back and then we would share our experiences. So, it was quite awesome. is there anything else you'd like to share before we go? And we have about a minute or so left. Talked about already.
Thank you to everybody who joined us tonight. You guys are great. And there's a lot of fun talking with you, Nicole. We always have a good time chatting.
Yeah, you're welcome back. Just come back to the show and chat some more. Wow, the hour just flew by.
that would be fun to come back
and then these will be replay on YouTube and Spotify shortly.
Awesome.
Right, you all have a great night. Thank you all for listening, and thank you Aurora for being a guest on our show. And next week I'll have George, not George Shannon, there's another George, sorry George, but he'll be here next week. So, you have a great, safe week. Until next time, stay safe, guys, and have a good night. Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, Aurora.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, my name is Nicole Jaspard. I'm an empath and paranormal investigator. I am also an author of a dozen books. Thank you for listening to Haunted Real Connections, where I'll bring you the best mediums and paranormal people the field has to offer. Stay tuned. for another great show on Paranormal Radio.